Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the inaugural address that I gave at TechRetreat 23 and IIT Kanpur on 24th March 2023. Unfortunately, the video recording of that talk somehow was not available. Either it was lost or something happened. So I thought of recording it in my office because I think this is an important talk and sharing with all of you on YouTube. TechRetreat is an important technical festival that takes place every year in IIT Kanpur, and the people from all over the country and even some from outside come to attend this. And I thought that I would talk and try to inspire the young IITians and how to help India become a Vishwaguru. And the talk was very well received. There were quite a full house in L19 or L18, I forget now. And so this is a poor version of that talk that I'm going to give you. My name is Anil Rajvanshi. I run a small NGO called Nimkar Agriculture Research Institute in Phaltan. This is a taluka place in Western Maharashtra. And whatever we do is on our website, narifaltan.org. And I would urge all of you to visit this site and see what we do. I am a product of IIT Kanpur. So it's always a pleasure to come and give a talk in IIT Kanpur. I graduated in 1972, and you can read about me in the Google and find out what I do. So why Vishwaguru? Vishwaguru means teacher of the world. This is a word which has been made popular by our Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi. And I thought that India has a potential of becoming a Vishwaguru through our young people who are brimming with energy and with our technology and our ancient philosophical thought. So this is what I'm going to discuss in this talk. Coming century will be India's century. Young people like you will drive it. You are the future of the country. So you have a lot of responsibility in making this country great. People like us who are old fogies will not be there when you will run this country and drive it to greatness. These are the best times of your life. When you are in IIT or any college, there are no worries. You should increase your intellectual capital and try to improve upon your thinking, try to become good human beings and not follow the money. In fact, Saraswati, Lakshmi always follows Saraswati. Saraswati is the goddess of knowledge, and Lakshmi is the so-called goddess of wealth. And I believe that if you have knowledge and your intellectual capital is very high, money will come. And thus, it is very necessary that you should be ethical in all your dealings, because when you follow ethics, then a lot of very good things happen. Major companies of the world have Indian CEOs. We do well wherever we go. However, we need to improve on our creativity. In fact, all over the world, for whatever reason, we seem to be good managers, but not very great creative people. And I feel that we, as an intelligent society, intelligent country, should also drive the innovation and creativity. And you, as young IITians, should do that. Why can't we create an ecosystem here in India so that our talent thrives? Knowledge is available on the internet. Let us maximize it. Because wherever we go, we produce great things. So why not here? Let us make this country as a heaven so that you don't have to go abroad. And when you don't go abroad and you live in this country where you are born, your family is there, I think it will be a much better place to work and create interesting things. Let us therefore create a great country through technology where we can live in a very peaceful, holistic, and emotionally satisfying way. And I feel that the new paradigm of development, this new paradigm of development will help us become a Vishwaguru, because through our technology and through our old ancient Indian philosophical thought, we can create a new paradigm of development. The talk will cover how IITians through technology can help in this process. Our greatest strength are our young people. We have the youngest population in the world. We are endowed with excellent genetic material, but need direction and dedication to achieve the goal. And what are the challenges before us? And I'll talk about possible solutions. And finally, I'll talk about the new paradigm of development that I've been writing for the last 20 years, which is spirituality plus technology is equal to happiness and sustainability. So what are the challenges? 60% of India's population, or 1 billion, lives in rural areas. The rural folks, or the people who live in rural areas, have the same number of neurons as everybody else, as you and I. Their aspirations, fueled by mass media, are also for good life. Improving the quality of life so that they join the mainstream development process is a real challenge and nation building. And this is what I would like to stress upon in this my lecture, that how you young technological engineers and future CEOs will help in this process of bringing technology and improving their life so that they join the mainstream development. All our efforts should be focused on increasing their Man Ki Shanti. You see, we have seen all over the world and in this country that we seem to be having too much of havas or greed. And this is not something which is very good. Neither it is sustainable, nor it is mentally good. So we should focus on increasing their Man Ki Shanti through a good technology and improving the quality of life and not their greed. We will require excellent engineers and entrepreneurs like you. Need excellent R&D and high technology for rural areas, not jugaad. Jugaad is a poor, is a lazy man's solutions. We need long-term, in-depth, very good high technology solutions. Remain true to your engineering profession. A country is built by engineers, inventors, and scientists, not by simply managers. Managers are necessary, but most important is the engineers, inventors, and scientists. What are the challenges? Rural areas require all those amenities which you in urban areas want. Create conditions in rural areas so that you could live, like to live there. Increasing rural incomes will stop the rural migration. Farming is enjoyable and a way of life. We should preserve it and help it grow. We will eat food and not nuts and bolts or software. We should do everything to help increase farmers' income and improve food security. In the run, daily run, in the anxiety, in the whole scenario of present day life, we forget that we will all eat food and not nuts and bolts or software. And we are all the time thinking that we will export this, import food, but that is not the way to grow. The way to grow is to create wealth from the land, and the wealth from the land is through high technology in rural areas and in agriculture. And when we have a high tech agriculture, which will feed not only the whole country, but will feed them with a high quality food, then that is what will make a country great. And so new and sophisticated technology is needed for, and this is an illustrative list, livelihood, energy production, improving household environment, health facilities, education, internet connectivity, and all of them will have a huge possibilities of startups. So what can we do for livelihood or doubling the farmer's income? On the first slide, in the first photograph, I show this is a farmer of my dreams. He becomes a breeder. He sits simply and manages these autonomous machines, or he asks the people who own these machines to come and help him do all the farming practices, starting from sowing them, weeding them, and ultimately harvesting them. And this will require a lot of AI, a lot of drones, autonomous machines, and etc. And his most important thing will be to look at the crops so he can isolate and make a selection so that he becomes really a breeder. Today, the farmers are so much bogged down by the day-to-day efforts that they do not really look at the good or new varieties that are coming in their field so that they can isolate them and keep them aside for better breeding. So modern farming, 3D manufacturing, hybrid electric farm machinery, they are all important part of this scenario. We need farm equipment leasing companies who can lease this, machines, because they are costly machines. No farmer can afford it, but on per acre basis or per time basis, they can be leased. Then we also need, after the farming is finished, that we need food processing, because food, most of the food contains a lot of water. And if we can remove the water, then we can increase the quality of material and also increase the remuneration to the farmer. We also need small solar powered cold storages. As I show, this cold storage is very innovative storage. It stores the coldness in ice, and with melting of ice, it helps in preserving the fruits and vegetables. And then we also need perennial crops. Today, we harvest everything after the crop is taken out. 60% of the material is still in the residues, which is such a waste of energy. So if we can produce perennial crops, which means that the rice and wheat will grow on trees, then this will help us greatly in the future in becoming a very sustainable farming community. And we need hydroponics and precision farming. And I show the hydroponics growing a lot of things. And this is the slide I show about our work in sweet sorghum syrup making, where we take the sweet sorghum, remove the juice, heat through our food processor, this unit, we evaporate the water and produce a high quality syrup, which is sold at close to 450 rupees per kilogram, as compared to 3 to 4 rupees per kilogram that a farmer will get in just selling the sweet sorghum. In energy production, agriculture residues and waste should normally go to nourish the land. Whatever, however, cannot be utilized should be used for power generation. And I show this 10 megawatt power plant in Gadchiroli in Maharashtra, running on biomass, direct combustion and biogas. And biomass-based taluka power plants of 10 to 15 megawatt, we initiated this national policy in 1990s, and we are very proud that around 2,500 megawatt power plants have been set up based upon this policy. We also need low-temperature solar-powered organic Rankine systems. They should be 100 to 200 kilowatt capacity. The advantage of low-temperature solar-powered systems is that one can store the energy in low-temperature water, and this can be 24 by 7. Today, most of the work in India is being done on solar PV, There is no storage, and so there is a very big mismatch of when the electric, when the solar energy comes and when the demand takes place. But in this process of a solar powered organic Rankine system, we can have 24 by 7 production of electricity. And this is something that we should look at very carefully. Small 100 to 200 kilowatt biogas power systems, both for cooking and power generation, are also very useful. We can produce biogas from any waste agriculture material which is wet, and this is something that we should do it on a large scale. Stripping of biogas to produce CNG, which is done all over the world, and challenges are its in storage at room temperature, because CNG cannot be liquefied, but new materials are coming which can store the CNG at room temperature in some of these hydrates and some of these very nice spongy materials. Improving household environment. Building low-cost insulated houses, passive cooling. This is something which we have been doing for the last 40 years. We passively cool our buildings by having a shade net and then gunny sacks, which is sprinkle water 2 times a day, and the cooling of the roof then brings in cool air through the fan, and the whole house becomes extremely cool. Outside temperatures may be 40, 45, and inside is cool 28 to 30 degrees Celsius. And this is very simple and requires very little energy, and it is one-tenth the cost of the regular AC. Then when we worked with the rural poor in near Phaltan, we found that they ate very poorly. So we developed a whole concept of rural restaurants, which means that after the day's hard work, they simply can go to a restaurant in a very subsidized price. They will get good food, wholesome food. This started the Amma's Kitchen in Tamil Nadu and Shiv Bhojan in Maharashtra. And close to 1 to 2 crores of thalis are given every year on this concept. PV powered solar refrigerators are used as a storage medium and need to increase efficiency of induction cookers. I believe that as the solar PV will become more and more important, we need to go into induction cooking, which is very efficient and very clean. And this requires that we improve the efficiency, reduce the power, and so that it can become a viable rural cooking process. Smartphones enhance internet connectivity and e-mobility. Nari, our institute, pioneered e-rickshaws. I show the e-rickshaw, which was made in 2000. And now you must have seen large number of e-rickshaws all over the country. And we are very proud to say that in 1995, the work that we started, the first in the world, helped in this process. We also need excellent low wattage fan, so that we should have a maximum airflow per unit power. This is a great challenge for all of you who are interested in fluid mechanics, that how do we produce a fan which will push maximum air and minimum power. And this is not a trivial exercise, and it will require the best fluid dynamics brain and technology. All devices to be very efficient and high tech, low power and run on electricity, because as we are moving more and more on the solar electricity decentralized system, we have to make these devices very efficient. We don't have very big machines, simple things, but they should be very much efficient. And the challenge of running all of them in less than 500 watt per household. So this will provide a quantum jump in the quality of life for rural poor. There are some health challenges. Telemedicine, early disease detection technologies based on smartphones. See, as these technologies are coming, we should, as a technology managers, we should try to think how do we utilize them in the rural areas, in the rural scenario, and that requires a very innovative thinking. And once you do that, then all the technologies exist. You just have to put it together for our final product. We also need decent old people's homes. More and more Indians are becoming old. They are living longer. And in big cities, there are homes, but in rural areas, the old people are very poorly kept. They are not taken care of because of the problem of money, etc. And most of the with the old time living in a joint family has gone, and more we see destitutes on the streets because they've been thrown away, thrown out from their family. We need clean drinking water for school children, and here we show technology that we have developed, and now we are going to put it in a rural schools near Fulton, where we do rainwater harvesting. We clean it through our solar water purifier, and then we supply that water to the school children. More than that supply of the water, we are also going to teach the children on the whole process of rainwater harvesting, solar cleaning, how do we find the E. coli, etc. Because by doing these things by their hand, children will learn much more about technology and science. Good wholesome food for rural area via rural restaurants, as I discussed before, and creating high technologies and support system which can help 3 billion people worldwide. Technologically advanced India can then lead the world and can really become Vishwaguru. This challenge will be a great learning experience for you. Do not think only about jobs and money, but about improving your quality of thinking, improving your intellectual infrastructure, because once you do that, then things will happen as you go into the world. And finally, we need to reduce our greed and become sustainable in our personal life. And this we need to practice what we preach. Gandhiji produced the highest quality of thought in the least materials and resource usage. We may not become like Gandhi because he lived in very frugally with very little energy and with very little things. We can still live a holistic lifestyle in limited resources, etc., by improving the efficiency and utilizing the modern technology. So efficient rural goods and services should be made available at an affordable cost. And I believe that spirituality helps in reducing our greed, removes fear, makes us ethical, reduces desire to control, and helps us live a sustainable life. Spirituality is not religion, and that is the most important thing. All the modern things that we follow, this is very ritualistic and is not spiritual in nature at all. And we need to go deeper inside ourselves to become spiritual, and then we can reduce our greed and become sustainable. And one can live sustainability in an emotionally satisfying way. I have lived such a life for the last 35 years in rural Maharashtra. And you can read about this experiment of mine in the internet. And so the possible mantra of India's development should be: technology guided by spirituality can lead to happiness and sustainability. And this can help India become Vishwaguru. Thank you very much. And here are the some of the URL and the email, and I'll be very happy to hear back from you about this talk and what do you think about it. Thank you very much.